listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today are Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder newspaper, and Chris Collins, columnist with the Greenfield Recorder. Welcome to you both.
Thanks.
Thank you.
The Massachusetts legislature reached a compromise on a state budget late last week, and one thing that's continued to make news is the fact that funding to study Springfield to Boston rail service was left out of the final version. State Senator Eric Lesser of Long Meadow has been pushing to make the study happen.
It was killed in complete silence with no transparency behind closed doors, and so we need to get an explanation.
And even Senate President Stan Rosenberg told the Daily Hampshire Gazette that they have to get to the bottom of why they're having trouble getting this study done. So, Mike, for the third year in a row, the study failed to make the cut. Is it time to go back to the drawing board, or will the mystery around all of this somehow strengthen the case for next year's budget?
Well, I think that it's time to really look at how the House and the Senate does its business. I talked to Representative Todd Smola, who was a member of the conference committee. I asked him a direct question. Why did this get pulled, especially since a train study proposal for Berkshire County was approved? And he said to me that the conference committee's deliberations and its reasons are secret. So we operate in a governmental arena where every select person, every city councilor has to abide by open meeting laws, but the great general court of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts doesn't. By the way, Lesser is filing this as a standalone, so it is going to get back into the process. But I think we really need to clamor for a little bit more transparency.
Chris, what about that notion? Does this mean that there's no accountability for lawmakers?
Well, I tend to agree with Mike that the transparency thing is an issue, but I also spoke to a member of the conference committee, Steve Kulik, and a couple of points about this. First of all, it was a Senate resolution. It was a Senate proposal. And lots of stuff ends up on the cutting room floor when it's from one House or the House of the Senate, one chamber or the other. But also, it had no numbers attached to it. There was no dollar figure. I think it does better as a standalone bill. I think with Lesser filing it, I think it'll get a better airing, a better viewing. But I agree, the fact that these guys are writing the budget and you can't find out what they're talking about and what kind of horse trading they're doing is kind of ridiculous.
The interesting thing is about the Berkshire proposal also has no dollar fee attached to it. So neither of these extended rail services actually had a budget figure.
And Mike, do you think that standalone bill idea that Chris mentioned and that Lesser has filed, do you think that could be more successful?
I agree with Chris because there's been a lot of support for this. The Boston Chamber of Commerce came out for it. There are reports that Governor Baker is more open to approving it. There's certainly been a lot of businesses out here, including MGM, who are very interested in having East-West Rail.
Moving on to voter registration, there's pending legislation in the Massachusetts House that would make it easier for people to vote. The proposed system would automatically register residents when they visit places like the Registry of Motor Vehicles and would allow them to opt out of voting if they choose. Northampton State Representative Peter Cocott is spearheading the bill. He says in contrast to the Trump administration's claims of voter fraud, there's a greater risk of voters being silenced.
Efforts to suppress voters registering and folks voting will be countered with a very 21st century voter registration system and list that's, you know, going to be very, very difficult to cause mischief with.
Cocott adds, Chris, that this would also be a less expensive alternative. What do you think about it?
I think whatever it takes to get more people to vote is a good thing. I think that it's long overdue. We have the technology to do it. You know, we're at the point in a lot of these elections, especially town elections, where a 30% turnout is considered good. 3 of 10 voters in a community turn out, and suddenly we're cheering. We've got to get more people to the polls, and any way to make it easier is a good thing.
Mike, currently people have to initiate the process of registering to vote. Is there something to be said for that?
Well, you would like to think that the civics classes that supposedly we all engaged in way back when would tell us that we need to be active participants in the American experiment of democracy. At this point, I think we should just give out, you know, certificates for a nice steak dinner someplace for those people who actually make it to the polls. Or if you're a vegetarian dinner. I have no prejudices against people who don't eat meat. But I don't know why people don't turn out, because what they do then is they get on social media and complain about what actually happens in their community, and they have absolutely no stake in it.
This week, we also found out about the death of former Western Massachusetts legislator and attorney Alan Sisitsky. He was a state representative and later a state senator. The Democrat is probably best known for being a nemesis to powerful Senate President Billy Bulger back in the 70s and 80s. Sisitsky's brother Mark says his siblings saw real injustice on how the Senate was run back then.
He was the type of fellow who did not go along to get along. He was a truth speaker, so even though he was being disruptive of many things that he said were true and accurate at the time and are still true and accurate.
And during one clash on the Senate floor, Bulger had Sisitsky removed from the chamber, which the ejected lawmaker said was, quote, like getting kicked out of a bordello. Mike, what do you remember about Alan Sisitsky?
I was very fortunate to be at WREB back in the mid-1980s. In Holyoke, and Mr. Sisitsky was doing some editorials for us, so he'd come in once a week and record them. You know, he had sort of an odd manner about him, but man, was the guy sharp. And the words that he delivered were piercing. This is a guy who took on Bulger. This is a guy who took on Matty Ryan here in Hamden County. This guy took on the auto insurance industry, for goodness sakes, and got rebates for Massachusetts residents. I mean, if there's someone who deserves a statue up someplace for political bravery, it's Alan Sisitsky.
And for those who don't know, Billy Bulger, of course, is a very controversial figure in Massachusetts politics, and Matthew Ryan was the district attorney in Hamden County at that time that I understand Mr. Sisitsky cost some money to because he changed the way that district attorneys could operate at that point, apparently. You could still have a private practice going and be the district attorney. So certainly an interesting story there. And Chris, we really don't see clashes like this between Bulger and Sisitsky much anymore in the Massachusetts legislature, especially in the public eye or really at all. Do we need more of this? Do they need to mix it up a little bit more?
Absolutely. We don't have nearly enough muckrakers anymore. A good gadfly is worth, you know, is waiting gold. I love the fact that he took on Bulger, even though it definitely probably cost him. And you know, you take on Bulger and Matty Ryan, you've definitely got some guts. I never got to interview this guy, but I always wanted to. I knew of him, you know, but I never got a chance to talk to him. But, we lost a good one there, I think.
Chris Collins, columnist with the Greenfield Recorder, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder newspaper, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you, our loyal listeners, for joining us for The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch The Shortlist anytime wherever you get your podcasts or by going to nepr.net/podcast. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.